Welcome to the KEYE Coffee Break on AM 1400 KEYE and 93.7 MyFM. Grab a cup of coffee and join us as we visit with your friends and neighbors. Here's today's program.
Welcome into our coffee break today here at KEYE 1400 AM and 93.7 MyFM, streaming all around the world and also on your phone. So we're delighted to have a person that was introduced to me yesterday, I suppose, visiting here from Amarillo. Was out talking with some of our people in our community, Dr. Honeycutt. And, of course, Dr. Honeycutt's been on coffee break quite a few times, so he knows, hey, this would be a great place for this gentleman to be. And today we're going to be talking with John Lane, who is with the Texas Ramp Project, and we're building project across Texas. So you're coming into our community. It's a nonprofit organization, but it's something that we've never heard about. But as I understand, you're making great strides of progress and success and help for those that need ramps, in particularly the wheelchair ramp, right?
That's right. Our vision statement is that no resident of Texas should lack safe access for financial reasons. We work across Texas. Last year we built 1,000 ramps, and we're on our way to, our goal is to be building about 2,500 a year. So we're about 6 years old, started from scratch, and we work in 28 regions in Texas. There are a lot of people that would believe that it's easy to get access. What it is easy to get, relatively speaking, is a wheelchair. What it's not so easy to get is a safe ramp. And we're working across the state training groups in communities across Texas that are taught how to build safe ramps. We help them with their funding. We train them. We equip them with tools. And they become independent entities working in their communities. So while I'm the executive director of the Texas Ramp Project, what I'm here to talk about is the creation of an Ocotee County Ramp Project. And we will be that umbrella organization that will provide all of the logistics for people here that we hope to find that will be able to build ramps for people in your community, your friends and neighbors who are unable to afford a safe ramp. And that's what we're trying to do now.
You know, when you say about ramps, handicap accessibility through ramps, now I know most of us, all of our public places now, you know, there is a law, but now when you started talking, I thought I had forgotten about
ADA.
Homes. I've forgotten about the number of persons in the homes that are not by law to have one. So, you know, a few lights may come on in our brain here now, realizing that, yeah, we've got rules for the public, but how many of us who are not touched by that situation understand that? Well, what does it cost to build a ramp for a home or wherever someone would need it?
Typical ramp would cost somewhere $500 to $600 worth of lumber, something like that. Maybe less if it's short, maybe more if it's longer. It all depends upon how high your door is above the ground. So the higher your door is above the ground, for example, if you lived in manufactured housing, then you're probably looking at a 40-foot ramp.
Wow.
If you're living in a house built on a slab, then you might be looking at something that's 2 or 3 inches, if that. So it's older homes we're dealing with, pier and beam homes, a lot of people living in mobile homes. And I think some of the key metrics of our project is that if you were an uninsured client living in the state of Texas and you couldn't get to medical assistance, couldn't live safely in your home, and you had to go into a nursing home, the cost to taxpayers is about $60,000 a year.
Mm.
Okay, so that's in state and federal tax dollars. Well, does it make more sense for us to spend $600 building a ramp, having someone live at home, or to go to a nursing home where they do not wish to go, and we all pay $60,000 for them if they're uninsured?
Wow. But, you know, when I think about a ramp, you'd think that's kind of simple, but I wouldn't know how do you build a ramp? What do you make it out of? Wood?
Well, you can make it out of three materials, usually. You can make it out of cement, you can make it out of wood, or you can make it out of aluminum, a metal. You can build a good ramp out of any of those materials, and you can build a bad ramp out of any of those materials, unfortunately.
Now we're getting to the clue.
Yeah.
You got to know how to do it.
Right. It's all about design. So this morning I looked at a ramp that someone had installed in a home south of here, and it was basically a piece of plywood that was laid across the top of some steps. The the vertical drop at the steps was about 2 feet, and they were trying to cover that with 1 8-foot-long piece of plywood. Well, that's, you have to put in a foot of slope for every inch of elevation, so there should have been a 24-foot ramp attached to those steps, not an 8-foot piece of plywood, which had no handrails. Very, very dangerous. And usually, I don't fault people for having those.
We don't understand that. I wouldn't know it was supposed to be an inch for every
family. Well, no, and I think a lot of families, when the need becomes apparent, when somebody has a stroke, when somebody perhaps with diabetes has a limb amputated or something like that, and that need comes upon them quickly, they do the best they can to solve that situation of getting that person in and out of the house that's all of a sudden in a wheelchair or all of a sudden using a walker for ambulating. Well, then some of those solutions aren't that good, but I don't really fault people for that. What I would fault, though, is if someone who says they're a vendor comes in and does something like that, then that's to me is something wrong with that.
Amen. Now, when you talk about this, and I've just met you, so we're both, I'm learning about this subject today. I was going back to my statement, I wouldn't even know how many people needed it in our community. Would you have statistics on some of the places that you've served, that are now serving, to give us a ratio? Because we, just like when we hear about our domestic violence cases or our children going home, we're always a little bit shocked when we see needs here that perhaps those of us that are capable, we don't realize they're right in our neighborhood. So what about some statistics that might fall into Ocotee County's?
Let's talk about our typical client.
Okay.
You know, we're more likely to see a client that's aged than young.
Mm-hmm.
Although we do see spina bifida children, we do see people who have been in automobile accidents, all kinds of accidents, falling off a roof, you know, a lot of things that might incapacitate someone. It could happen at any age. But I would guess that probably two-thirds of our clients are 55 or older.
You know, when you talk about that ramp gives them accessibility to not being housebound.
Exactly. And most communities have some sort of paratransit available. But paratransit will not take them out of the home. Paratransit will only pick them up at the street. So our mission is to get them safely out the door, down to the street, or down to their parking area so they can get in a car. That's really what we're trying to do. And that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, think about it. If somebody came to your house and screwed all the doors shut, it might be fun for a couple of days not having to go to work, but after a while that gets old. But most of the people that we're dealing with have had their doors screwed shut. We're trying to get there and open those doors so that they can get out and have safe access and lead normal lives of access. I had a lady write us a thank you note one time. She said in her note, thank you, now I know if I want to buy bananas. And that seemed like a strange statement, but what she was getting at was, when you go to buy bananas in a store, you may look and say, well, these look all green, or these are overripe, and I don't want these bananas. But she could now get to the store and see whether she wanted to buy bananas or not. So it's kind of a nice way of saying you've really helped me see the world again.
Can you share what town that was in, over Texas, or where about it was? Maybe you can't do that, but why don't you paint us a picture of, like, you're in Perryton, Ocotee County today, talking about this project, and let's say, just give us the vision of how it's going to build from today's interview until we have at least a portion of our people that need. What take has to take place
first?
Well,
let me talk you through how someone finds us and how we help them.
Excellent.
Okay. We don't accept any referrals directly from a family. So if you called me and said, my aunt needs a wheelchair ramp, we wouldn't dispute that. But we would say, who knows her medical history? What home health worker? What doctor? What therapist? What social worker? We want that person to make the referral for the client. Now, that does two things for us. One, it gives us a slightly more dispassionate view of the need, because when someone needs a ramp, that's the most important thing to every family. That is crucial to them. But we're looking at a whole ocean of people who need ramps. So when we get a social worker involved, they're able to tell us a little bit more about the medical circumstances, but more importantly, they now become aware of who we are and what we do. So we're not really asking for that person. We know who that person is and where they live. We're asking for every other person that that social worker runs into in the years to come. Now they know how to find us, and that's why we work that way.
But there's a screening process through that avenue of not saying, well, I want one because I just want one. It comes through the officials that medically and socially are working with these families. So that's kind of whatever it costs, they're getting the biggest bang for their buck, whatever.
Right, and there's no cost to the rent to the client. Okay, that's free. So when we come into a community, we would talk to hospitals like your hospital here. We would talk to home health agencies, the people who are going out and seeing people in their homes. We'd talk to rehab centers. We would talk to dialysis centers. We would talk to paratransit companies if we knew who they were and they were there.
Tell us what that is, paratransit.
Paratransit is a transportation company that can take someone in a wheelchair, and the vehicle has the ability to bring that person into the vehicle and lock that wheelchair down, and then they can take that client anywhere they want to go. So I'm not... There is a paratransit company called Panhandle Transit.
Yes, Panhandle Transit.
That would, you know, we would accept referrals from Panhandle Transit. We have accepted referrals mm-hmm. from them because they see exactly the need we're looking for. And think about if a person who is using Panhandle Transit, suppose someone like that had a ramp that became very badly deteriorated and they could no longer get out of the house. Well, in a worst case, they might be a dialysis patient. In a lesser case, they might not be able to make regular medical appointments. And so we would go out there and replace that deteriorating ramp with a new ramp, too. That's another part of what we do.
Now, when you talk about the process is going through of contacting you, and you made a very important statement that when these people are identified as qualifying, that ramp is free. So I think the word Bivens comes up in my introduction to you, that there's something behind the Bivens Foundation that helps with this funding. Would that be a...
We're funded by foundations. A significant portion of our funding comes from foundations, and certainly we've been fortunate to be funded by the Bivens Foundation. Their funding enables us to work in the 26 counties that is in this Council of Government region. So we see referrals in Perryton, we see referrals in Childress, we see referrals in Tulia. It's not Amarillo and it's not Canyon alone. We see referrals in Shamrock, in White Deer, in Spearman, in all places around the Panhandle region. And I think even in the more rural counties, what we do becomes more critical because you have people who are aging. They own their own homes. The demand for somebody to buy the home is relatively small because the younger people are going to employment centers like Amarillo and Lubbock and places like that. So they're there in their homes, and they would like to stay there as long as they can. So what we're trying to do is get them to age in place safely.
Age in place safely. Now, the Bivens, no, you have the foundation. It's also people can donate. Are you, where the funds are? You said 60% was mostly from foundations? Correct me on that.
I would say of our funding statewide, it's probably about 60%. Another 20% would come from churches in the communities we serve, would come from civic organizations like Kiwanis Alliance and Rotary, something like that. They've all been very generous with us. And from corporations as well. Then the final part of the puzzle as to how we get funded would be working with people like the Panhandle Area Agency on Aging, which covers all of these counties. We're in partnership with them, and they're great people to work with. Additionally, the Department of Family and Protective Services, which is Adult Protective Services normally for us, they provide referrals to us. So we get these referrals from a whole sea of different agencies. We probably have 40 or 50 different groups that make referrals to us in the Panhandle.
Well, you know, this may be the first time that we've ever had this particular project in our community, or at least from my experience, but it sounds to me like you're pretty seasoned in your organizational, administrative, and your mission and goal and where you're going. So how did you get to Perryton? I mean, you're kind of in Amarillo, right? But this is a far cry, but there's another good part of coming up here because you saw another need.
Yeah, I mean, we look like a single organization, and we are. We're an umbrella organization over many regional projects. The regional project that we're involved with here would be the Amarillo project. And we have churches supporting us in Amarillo and volunteers there, and we build a lot of ramps in Randall and Potter counties. But we're also responsible for people in Dumas and in Dalhart and in Hartley and all across the Panhandle region. So we think that you can't take a volunteer more than about 25 or 30 miles. So it's important to us to have a trained and equipped team in Ocotee County, because it's pretty difficult for us to rely on volunteers that we may have in Borger to come up here to build ramps. So we want to build a team in Ocotee County that will handle the local need that you have here.
Well, I think you're going to do that. I think this type of volunteerism is exciting. Do you have to have particular skills to get into this type of program? Do you need to have carpentry skill? I mean, or do you teach them from the ground up?
You know, every site that we build at has a skilled team leader, and we train those people. So every ramp that gets built has one of our trained team leaders on site. And strangely enough, we're not necessarily looking for someone with great carpentry skills to do that. What we're looking for is someone with great people skills. We want the volunteers to come out and work on our projects, whether they be from the local college here or from some other youth groups or from a church or wherever they may be from. We want those people to have a rewarding experience when they come out and work with our projects. So we want that team leader to be very easygoing, can guide people who've never seen a ramp before through a project. And we can take half a dozen people who've never seen a ramp before. Our team leaders have all the tools they need for everyone. And in 4 to 5 hours, we can complete a very safe ramp at any home. And they don't have to have 4 to 5 hours. We don't need them to be ready to build their own homes. We just need them to come out, because what we do is really pretty simple. We just have to teach techniques, certain things that we have to do. How do you figure out the right slope, and how do you make a ramp safe? So we can teach that to the team leader.
Okay, now the team leader is going to be a local resident.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Exactly.
Is there an age limit on being able, or is this just if you're capable and a people person and willing to help?
Well, I would say, you know, it's a great task for retirees, certainly. It's a great task for anyone, but I would, you know, this project has a way of getting under your skin and getting you really involved in the project. So it expands itself. It's a project, the need is hidden somewhat. I can drive through a neighborhood and look, and if I see a piece of plywood laying next to the steps, a lot of people would think that's just a piece of plywood laying in the yard. Well, that's not a piece of plywood laying in the yard. That's a temporary ramp that somebody's using because they don't have a permanent ramp. And you see those things, you see that situation all over the place. So, you know, you think about years ago, people, I'm sure here, this is has an agricultural area aspect to it in Ocotee County. You came together for a barn raising, and you might have four different groups raising one wall of that barn. Well, we're a modern-day barn raising. We can go and take neighbors to serve neighbors, and we'll create that barn, except it'll look like a piece of sloping wood, and it'll be called a ramp.
And the other thing, I know that many volunteers, I know here in our town, have built some ramps, but my question now is, with an organization like yours, with team leaders, obviously all standards, the high standards of building through medical or social or whatever, Medicare, aging people, is set so that these are permanent, safe, and mm-hmm. not something that my husband and I, whenever said, we'll put this up, and even though it might not be plywood, we slanted it down, but there's got to be things that we need to really be careful about. Through this organization, you're pretty, you know that what you're doing is going to be working.
We have to be good stewards of the money that comes into us, whether it be from the kind folks at the Bivens Foundation or from First Baptist Church, wherever we may be. What we really strive to do is to build ramps that are safe, but we also need to build ramps that are economical. We're building out of pressure-treated lumber. And that pressure-treated lumber is very durable. Now, we provide the paint in a non-skid coating to apply to that ramp, usually about 30 days after we build it, when all that pressure treating is dried out and it can be painted. And that painting can be done by middle school volunteers.
Okay.
They can go out and do that. So we have that aspect covered. If you look at the cost differential for a metal ramp to a wood ramp, it's maybe 5 to 7 to 1 for the same length ramp. So where our ramps might be cost per foot for simply the wood itself, probably around $15 to $20 a foot. You look at a metal ramp, it could be $100 a foot. You know, so that's a differential of five. When you look at concrete, it could be even more. And concrete ramps can be too steep, just like wood ramps can be, just like metal ramps can be. I was in some town around Amarillo earlier this week, and I saw a metal ramp, and those are certainly good and durable ramps, but whoever built it ended at 8 inches off the ground. Well, you know,
that's coming, not going to work.
Yeah, no, that wasn't such a great solution there. Somebody put a box in front of it so you'd stand on a box to get up onto the ramp. Well, you know, that it wouldn't be a good idea in wood, and it's not a good idea in metal.
Is there a certain way, how do you determine whether a person would get a wood or a metal or a concrete? Is it, how the house is, the slope, or does your team leader make that decision?
No, we're only building out of wood.
Only out of wood, okay.
Yeah. Now, there's some benefits to that. Let's say the person we built the ramp for moves.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's relatively simple to take that ramp off of the house. Mm-hmm. It's in concrete, you're talking about a jackhammer now if you want to remove that ramp. And if you're talking about metal, metal is not economically feasible for us because we'd only be building 20% of the ramps we're building if we're putting them in metal because of the cost factor. So instead of the 1,000 we built last year, it would have been 200,
wow.
And 800 people wouldn't have had a ramp.
And the fact is, the ramp is very, it's what keeps them from being housebound. It gives them a freedom to move about and still maintain their lives, even though they may be in a wheelchair, which is no easy thing to.
In some cases, there's no porch to come out on. We're building that platform in front of their door, and then we're going to start the ramp. So we try to put a flat in front of the door so when they're locking the door, putting away the keys, they're not on a slope, they're on a flat. But people also come out and drink their coffee out there and listen to the birds in the morning. People use that like a porch. So,
oh, wow.
You know, I've gone back and seen ramps that people had hung hanging baskets of flowers off of, all kinds of things to personalize them as people would do with their home.
Enhance their quality of life.
So, absolutely. You know, it really improves their quality of life. But if you think about it, it's not only the person in the wheelchair. Think about the caregiver. The caregiver has been struggling to get this person safely out of the house, to medical appointments. Well, now that caregiver's life is made a lot simpler also. So we're not only serving a person in the wheelchair, we're serving that entire family who's been struggling to get that person out of the house safely.
And, you know, we've just been having statistics with one of we have an Alzheimer's, Oakwood Men or an Alzheimer's unit specifically here in Booker, learning about how by the year, we're an aging population and we're going to be living longer, but we're also going to be having some health problems. So even the idea about the ramps, to be more in our observance to make sure that we are that there is a possibility for them to stay longer in their home.
Oh, definitely.
And that's one of the things that maybe not Alzheimer's, but if you have a physical handicap that puts you in there, you can still have the freedom to move about and kind of maintain your lifestyle.
Well, let's think about this a little bit. Suppose we built a ramp and all we did was enable that person to live in their house for another 6 months. Which would be pretty minimal, but normally would be much longer than that. But let's say it was only 6 months. Well, that's $30,000 in tax dollars. We spent $600 to save taxpayers $30,000.
And so that's another thing. You know, Mr. Lane, John Lane, we're with us today, and we're going to take a break and be back because we've still got some more information because we've got to find out who we need to get you in contact with, like you said, hospitals, some other air places, so that when you make the call or stop by, we can let them know that you are in town and you're definitely bringing a good service that many of us are not aware how many of them are needed. So stay tuned. We'll be back with the Texas Ramp Project with John Lane right after this.
Refurnish your home with your refund. That's right. Just in time for your tax refund, Parrott and Furniture will give you $100 off any purchase of $9.99 or more, or even $200 off a purchase of $19.99 or more. And the selection right now at Parrott and Furniture is fantastic. Reclining sofas and love seats from $12.98. 5-piece bedroom sets from $13.99. And these are just a few of the deals. Put your refund to work and get up to $200 off when you spend $19.99 or more when you refurnish your home with your refund at Parrott and Furniture.
Shamrock, Texas, the place to be for one of the nation's top St. Patrick celebrations, March 14th through 17th. The St. Patrick's Parade is 10:30 Saturday morning. There's a huge Carnival Midway classic car show, a motorcycle rally, arts and crafts show, a 5K run, gospel singing, a health fair, and the Miss Irish Rose and Latin Lassie pageants. Saturday night, it's a big dance with recording artist Coup de Grace. Come see us at The Rock, Shamrock, Texas, St. Patrick's Weekend, March 14th through 17th.
Welcome back into our coffee break today. We're speaking with John Lane, who works with a wonderful, brand new organization, nonprofit, that I'm first to learn about. And I'm telling you, I think it's a very, well worth project for us to be listening about. And I think it's going to be one of those win-win situations. I mean, I don't see how we can lose on this one. And I don't see how any community can. We missed out a little bit on that first part of our interview about some of the statistics about how many may be needing these ramps and, how many of us are probably in the dark about how many need these ramps.
All right, well, let's talk about the aged in Texas. Right now, about 12% of Texans are over 65. But let's say it was 10%. We're a state of about 25 million people. That's 2.5 million people. All right, so now you've got 2.5 million people. Well, suppose 10% of those people need ramps. That's 250,000. Well, let's say that's exaggerated. Let's say it was 5%. That's 125,000. Okay, well, let's say even that's exaggerated. Let's say 1%. So instead of 125,000, you're down at 25,000. Okay? We're seeing about 3,000 referrals a year. What does this tell me? It tells me that a lot of people that have need for us don't know we're there. And the aging population, as the baby boomers age out, is going to be 20% in about another 7 or 8 years. So we won't be talking about 2.5 million. We'll be talking about 5 to 6 million people. So what we're trying to do is get this project in place as this tidal wave of aged hits us. I mean, we all listen to the State of the Union address, and whether you listen from the left side or the right side, there's no one in Washington that's saying we want to put more money in geriatric health care. As a matter of fact, that's the biggest item in the budget that's throwing things out of whack. So where is the money going to come from to do something like we're doing? Well, it's probably not going to come from a governmental agency, because that's where we're looking to shore up and to reduce those costs. So I think what we do is still going to be needed. I mean, it would be nice to say that in another 2 or 3 years the government's going to take this over, but I think that's an unrealistic wish. So you've got, you know, I would say 1% of those people is a pretty bare-bones guess as to how many people need ramps. I would say that's even below what's in actuality. So we're seeing about... 3,000, there could be seeing 25,000 referrals a year easily. We're covering about 75% of the counties in Texas now. We're not covering 25%, and our goal is to cover every county in Texas. So we're not working in the lower Rio Grande Valley, where there's enormous need in those counties along the Rio Grande. We're not working in East Texas and deep East Texas, which would be, say, Lufkin, Beaumont, those areas, but we will be there. We will go into those areas. So the fact that you've got 12% of Texans over 65, 17% of Texans are living below the poverty level, there's big, big numbers out there. And it's a big assist if we can get to them and keep them living at home where they have that informal safety net of family, of neighbors, of friends, their churches, all those networks that we all have when we feel sick or ill or somebody out there to help us. And we list on our referral form, is that person living alone? And a very significant portion of the people we serve are living alone. Well, then that's a big red flag when we see that.
You know, as I sit here and listen to this, and I, at the very beginning, you said that by keeping their home, we saved how much tax dollars a year? $30,000?
$60,000.
Well,
That's for an uninsured client.
For an uninsured client. Well, and I want to tell you, you may have come up with one of the best ways to help keep the health care for the aging down a little bit, in as much that if you keep them in their homes, they're going to have more active lives. They don't get as depressed. And maybe it could help on the Medicare cost of what's ending up in our nursing homes, or having to have someone come in, because this is this continues to have their freedom. It's almost like, you know, they say once they take the car keys away from you, and when you get older, it's over. Well, you know, if you're in a wheelchair and you have no way to still be mobile, that's I think a lot of aging is mental.
Oh, you know, it is. I mean, we can make our argument from an economic standpoint, which would be the tax dollars, certainly, or we can make it from a more humanistic standpoint of those people wishing to live their lives where they are, where they feel secure, and where they know where their help is coming from. So there's a lot of ways to make the argument, but on the plus side of this, Texans are very generous and supporting people. We've been fortunate to find people in all the areas where we're working who do extraordinary things to keep our project going. I mean, it's not for me to build those ramps. It's for the people who live in Perry, it's for the people who live in Borger, it's for the people who live in Dumas, it's for the people who live in any number of places in the state of Texas.
And people in the Panhandle said they're called independent and take care of our own. I think that's another thing you know about our little cities, and Perryton will just, I mean, that's something you've just held a light out for them, and they're going to run toward it.
The further you get away from a city, the better the volunteers get, because they lead independent lives, and they have to do things for themselves. There's not all the services that you might see in Dallas or Houston. Those services don't exist, so they're forced to do more on their own. And those volunteers are very creative and very, very giving people.
And, you know, you've mentioned the churches. I know we've had several churches here without mission, outreach mission chores, and some of them have them ramps. This is going to fit right in with some of those within our own community that are already wanting to do that, but now they're going to have some expertise and some help, and also ability to search them out. And, John, we're running out of town. I mean, out of time. I hope you get to come back. But, number one, John Lane is the name. The RAP project is the name of the project. Now, if they want to be volunteers, how do they go about getting in touch with you?
They need to send us an email at info@texasramps.org, TEXASRAMPS.org. And wherever they are, we will then connect them with our closest local project so that we can start to train them and to generate a local team that can do that. So if people that are listening to this program want to do that, send us an email and we'll start to bundle the people, and we'll come back up to Perryton and we'll build a ramp here and we'll train people and we'll equip people, and I think you'll be rewarded in many, many ways by what you see on our project. It's not because you listen to me on a radio show that should drive you. It's your motivation will be what you see when you come out on one of our projects, and the goodwill it's generated, and the ability to blend with your client, the people that we're serving, and the people who are serving with you. These are all win-win situations, and you'll go home a much richer person.
And then also, when we look at the responsibility, not only on with the volunteers building those ramps, but a responsibility of our citizenry way opening our eyes, maybe many of our ministers, the Ministerial Alliance for one, might even have an idea of some of their members that would need a ramp. Can a church or an organization call you with a name, or would it need to be a family member before you move into your process of identifying and all the needs?
Well, I mean, we want to talk to the churches and those volunteers ourselves. What would encourage people who know of someone who needs a ramp is to talk to someone that is providing health care for that client and let them know what you heard here, mm-hmm. and then let them go into our website at texasramps.org and click on the top of our homepage, click on Amarillo. When they get to the Amarillo pages, click on client referral and fill out that online form. That will go immediately to our volunteers in the Panhandle, and it'll be the quickest thing that they can do to get that person served.
Excellent, excellent. I just have to close with one, and we're running over time, but this is a pretty phenomenal program. It is so it's grassroots. It's just everything there. This is obviously a passion with you. How did you get involved with this project and to be traveling and speak so eloquently about it?
I joined a little Kiwanis club in Richardson, Texas, and back in 1989, and they were building some ramps, not many, but a few. And I went out on one of those builds, and I saw what it did for the family that we served. Well, it made me curious how people really did get ramps, because it wasn't by the small amount of ramps that our club was building. And I went to hospitals, and I went to rehab centers, and I went to Access Center for the Elderly and places like that. And what I discovered was that nobody knew how to get a ramp if you couldn't afford it. How do you get it if you can't pay for it? A ramp at a mobile home, if you're going to have a vendor come in and put it in, it's probably going to be $2,500 to $4,000, depending upon the size of the ramp. That's a pretty big chunk, and a lot of people don't have $2,500 floating around in their checking account. So what we endeavored to do was to create a project that could serve those people and provide those ramps at no cost to them.
Well, I can tell you it's been a pleasure visiting with you. I look forward to this program growing in our Ocotlán County and the counties around us. Great bunch of people up here in this isolated 60 to 75 mile radius. And, you know, it's what I call all America. That's what it's all American, and that's what it's about. And this project's right on the top of it. So the gentleman's name, John Lane, Texas Ramp Project. If you're wanting to volunteer to build or you have a client referral, go to www.texasramps.org, and it'll be a website that'll direct you, and we'll also have some more information on our bulletin board about how you can get in touch with John and this project. And we just thank you for stopping by and informing us, because, you know, our town's all about what's good, and this is definitely going to be one of those good things.
I look forward to coming back.
Thank you so much. That's it for Coffee Break, and be looking for the rep project coming into our community. You can volunteer, or you can let them know someone that might need it. Sounds like it's a win-win, as you said. That's it for Coffee Break.
Thanks for listening to the KEYE Coffee Break. Enjoy the rest of your day. Join us again next time for the KEYE Coffee Break on AM 1400 KEYE and 93.7 MyFM.